Y'all look around, do a quick head count, make sure nobody left after I said dismiss. But I want to do something right now. Last week we had were able to go vote on Tuesday, and then on Friday was Veterans Day. But I want to tell you, we will never be able to vote first if it wasn't for what our veterans have done. So at this moment, I'd like for all our veterans to stand. Thank y'all so much for what you've done. Genesis 3:9 is where we're going to take our scripture from this morning. And for those of you that have never witnessed about what's about to unfold up here, just want to let you know, we'll get through it. We'll get through it. But Genesis 3:9, the Bible says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" So if we had to title our sermon this morning, it'd be, in my redneck slang, "Where you at?" And that's what we want to talk about a little bit this morning. Mike Ward and I were talking about the construction of this church a few weeks ago. And I told him something that was a privilege to me about it. And then he started talking about how it all come together. This beautiful sanctuary, our beautiful fellowship hall downstairs. And from the time construction was proposed on this church and brought before the church, construction started literally within a matter of days. The economy had already tanked, or tunked, whatever tense you want to use there. So nobody was supposed to be building anything. So what kind of great decision was it to start building a church? It was God's decision. God said build that church. But God knows what he's doing. Construction started in days. Mike told me how he would call up a contractor to see when they could come, checking their schedules. It was not a whole lot of work going on. Everybody was able to come pretty much when called. So everything just fell in place. He said the contractor that poured the concrete for the basement walls asked who was pouring the floor. Mike said, "I will do that." But Mike Ward is a pilot, a UGA grad, an Army veteran, a builder, a volunteer fireman. And I've been told that if it ain't working, Mike can fix it. Miss Beth has done an awesome job, hasn't she? But the concrete guy, with all those accolades to Mike Ward, but the concrete guy told Mike, said, "Ah, you'll mess it up." So God was in that too when the man said, "You supply the material, I'll pour the floor for free." God's not only in this church on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, he's been in it from the first time they took a piece of equipment and scratched back a blade of grass. Y'all agree? But after saying all that, I guess I better make a point. Mike Ward probably knows this church better than anybody in here. He knows every nook and cranny. And if you went and hid something or hid yourself, eventually he would find you. Wouldn't you think? When I've had some meetings with folks, we've sat right over here in the dark because I don't know where all the light switches are. That's the truth. But Mike Ward could eventually find you. So let's go back and look at our scripture, or add some to our scripture. Genesis 2:8-9 says this, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the trees of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Back over to Genesis 3, 8 and 9. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, "Where art thou?" Where are you at? So here we have Adam and his wife hiding in a garden that God created with plants that God caused to grow, being fed by a river that God created, in a world that God created, in a universe that God created. So as hard as Adam and Eve are trying to hide, no matter how much hiding they do, they'll never be hidden from God. With me? God knows, can never be hidden from God. And the same holds true for you and me today. Our flesh takes over and we run and we try to hide. But God knows. God knows. We can never be hidden from God because our relationship with God is different than his relationship with any of his other created creatures. Now I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to look at how this is different. Genesis 1, chapter 3. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's the first day. The dark and the light. He divided the light and the dark, and the light was called the day, and the darkness was called the night. Hadn't taught you a whole lot yet, have I? Verse 6. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Some of your Bible versions may say sky, but what he's talking about there, everything above the earth and as high as we could ever go in this body. That was day 2. Day 3, verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And he called the dry land earth. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be given for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. It was so because God said so. And there's your little something to chew on at lunch. Day 1, God made light. Day 4, he made the sun. How's that happen? Powerful, mysterious God. Day 5, verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures. So on day 5. We have stuff that's living in water. We have the fowl, the birds, everything that's flying. And then we come to day 6. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth on the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good. Up till now, everything that's been created, God spoke it into being. He said it, and it happened. That'd be a great tool to have if you're a parent. Sit down, hush, don't do that, don't do that, and it happens. But it don't happen because those kids become teenagers. I may have told you before, the Bible don't say how old Lucifer was when God kicked him out of heaven, but he was probably a teenager. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image. But we're different. God plainly says that we're made in his image. And nobody else. Nothing else. We're different. We talk. We can build stuff. But we can't hide from him. So we were not something that was spoken into being. We were handcrafted. We weren't set upon the earth and our bodies just kicked into gear. Because in Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So God has actually scooped down and he's laid his hand on the creation of man. I know I've had dogs and cats growing up and all kind of critters, and I'm sure you have too. And they lived and breathed the same air that we do. But about none of them does it say that God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. We're different. We're different. We're made to glorify him. We're made to represent him. We're made in his image, made in his likeness. And no other creature on earth is made like that. It's us, because he wants us. So back to Genesis 3:9, where it says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? Adam, where you at? What does God want with Adam? Him and Eve has just committed the one thing that God said don't do. You've got this whole place, this whole garden. There's one thing, and that's what they did. So God may be coming to show up and wring their neck or something. Got a hickory with him, whatever the case may be. We were at the beach one year when our kids were very small. And one of them went missing. But in seconds, we were stricken with panic and fear. And as I ran to the balcony, we were up on the fifth floor. I remember going to look over the railing. And I remember the dryness in my mouth that I couldn't swallow in fear of what I was about to see over that railing. But I didn't see anything. Went back out the front door, done the same thing, looked over the railing out into the parking lot. Still no kid. But then Keisha heard some giggling or some movement coming from under the bed. And one of those kids had hid. But in those moments that we were looking for him, do you think we wanted to find him in order to punish him? Of course not. We wanted to find him because we loved him. We wanted to find him because he's our child. He's a part of my life. He's part of me. And I don't want any harm to come to him. And just like God sees us as his children, he don't want any of us to perish. Besides, I could have spanked him all the way back home for 8 hours, but I'm thankful that we found him. So, by saying that, what do you think God wanted with Adam? Because by sending his son, God doesn't want us to perish either. He has paid that price. So what does God want with Adam? God is not swooping in like the U.S. Marshals fugitive team. God's tracking down Adam and Eve like a loving, caring parent. That's what he's doing. That's what he's trying to do. God loves us more than anyone, more than our parents, more than our spouse, more than our kids. He's proven that. But when he calls us, we tend to hide. How do we tend to hide sometimes? Sometimes we hide with just a smile. We'll fake it. Nobody will know what I'm going through. Sometimes we hide because we go out and buy something new or extravagant because we're pretty sure that's what we need to make us feel better. Sometimes we hide because we hide by withdrawing from our Christian brothers and sisters, withdrawing from fellowship with them, withdrawing from attending church, when it should be the place we ought to be, because church is the only place you got to confess to be bad to be a member. See, we all ought to be limping in here every week with new burdens we need to share with our brothers and sisters, maybe even things we need to rejoice with our brothers and sisters. But we hide. We tend to hide. Ladies, if y'all will come on and prepare us a little something. So this morning, is God calling you? Are you hiding? What are you hiding behind? What are you hiding from? How many here of parents have seen your kids actually hide from you because they think they're in trouble? One reason we hide is because of guilt. We know we're wrong. We know we've displeased God. We know we've sinned. And we hide and we do all these other things that I mentioned, thinking it's going to make everything all right. But what does it do? It makes it worse. It makes it worse. It is not in our nature that when we have those situations, it is not in our nature to come on hands and knees to a holy God. It's our nature to hide. Coming to a holy God in confession is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's nothing we do. So this morning, we're going to open up the altar, and maybe you're lost, and God's calling you to answer his call this morning. Maybe you're anxious about something coming up in your life. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe, just maybe, you're not hiding at all, and you want to come praise him. But I want you to know that if in our walk with Christ, as imperfect people that God chose to save and we became imperfect Christians, there's only two places we can be. We either in fellowship or we're out. So this morning, these altars are open. If you need to come, please come.